breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
Number of New Yorkers, 4,758, which is up from 159, but which is effectively flat for 2 days. While none of this is good news, the flattening, possible flattening of the curve is better than the increases that we have seen.
That is earlier today, Governor Cuomo saying that the curve possibly being flattened, 2 days in essentially flat for New York State. And the city, of course, still struggling mightily with its challenge. Although it looks like tomorrow the Javits Center will finally open for COVID exclusive treatment, and that's going to be 2,500 beds, and it appears that the president is working with the governor to also allow the 1,100 beds on the Comfort to be converted to COVID. That was not the original use of the Comfort as it came up. But anyway, having said all of that, the challenges that we faced here in the New York tri-state area continue to be huge. New Jersey and New York are the two most deadly states when it comes to COVID-19 deaths, and as now both have eclipsed well in advance 9/11 numbers. It's really starting to hit home, I think, as the rest of the country watches. Although there are another hotspots in Detroit and New Orleans and other places that are also struggling mightily with their own crises as well. One of the things we've tried to do here at Kevin McCullough Radio is let you hear from shepherds that are in this area that are dealing with this crisis on the ground. And Dave Watson is the senior pastor at Calvary Chapel of Staten Island, longtime friend of this show and of AM 570, The Mission, and FM 102.3. And Pastor Dave rejoins us. And Dave, you and I have been talking a lot offline. And by talking, I mean sometimes talking, sometimes texting. I don't think we've FaceTimed, but we've used almost every type of technology to communicate in recent days as is possible. And just tell us a little bit about what your people have dealt with on Staten Island in the face of the last 21 days.
Well, I'll illustrate it for you. I have a number of people who've had to go to the emergency room. A number of them are still there, but essentially the ambulance picks you up and you're told as the ambulance picks you up, you know, someone will call you. And then you're kind of at the mercy of someone calling you. And you may or may not get to speak to your loved one. If they have a cell phone on them and they have service in the hospital, you may talk to them. But that person is whisked off to the hospital and you get periodic updates. We have one gentleman, a great guy, and his wife. His wife right now is it's working well with reference to being on a ventilator, but he didn't get a call. She was on a ventilator. He kind of found out through the grapevine. He didn't get to say anything to her before she went on a ventilator. And that stuff like that is kind of repeated on a regular basis. When someone gets in that ambulance, you may not speak to them for quite a while. And yeah. It may be a little bit of time before you have any information. It's incredibly tough. And of course, clergy are not allowed in the hospitals. So we can't really be go-betweens or anything of that nature, which is kind of difficult.
It's kind of the opposite, as Ryan Batesel said in this spot last week. It's kind of the opposite of what you guys are wired for. You normally move towards people in pain. And I know that, Dave, even today you had to do your first virtual funeral.
It's crazy. I a family for as long as I have. I've been here 30 years, so I know a lot of these families that long, but to have to do a funeral that way, because in New Jersey, the rules are incredibly strict. So there's a funeral director and one member of the family, other members of the family couldn't even sit in the car. And we're doing a Zoom funeral for someone that they love and I love and, have known for years. It's a very surreal experience. And I wouldn't wish it on anybody. I think our grief groups that going forward, we're going to have to figure a way to help people without closure. You know, how to grieve without closure. That's going to be the theme, because I don't know how you get closure with any of this.
Yeah. As a shepherd, how does that impact your ability to be prepared and to do what you need to do?
Well, the thing I have to be is flexible. And I have to, on a personal level, I need to make sure my walk with God is good. And I need to say, you know what, I'll deal with what I got to deal with later. You know, I'll sit down with the hospital and give them holy something later. And I'll sit down with the funeral home, and I'll sit down with the cemetery later. Right now, my responsibility is to take care of these people the best way I know how. That's the job. I love them. I don't want them to hurt. I want to walk them through this. I mean, we've established our prayer chain a lot stronger. So someone texts us or lets us know someone's sick, immediately that goes out as a prayer request. I'm not talking about 10 minutes. I mean, immediately. So we're trying to be on everybody and reach out to everybody. And we have our elders calling everybody just to, so that we know how everybody's doing, and we take care of everybody.
Staten Island has been kind of a unique scenario in the New York story. Is it better or worse than what the media is describing there?
It's pretty bad. I have people in the healthcare industry. I have nurses in the hospitals, and it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
They have the equipment they need, but they feel very uncomfortable because you know you're trying to be careful with all the equipment, and at the same time, you know, they didn't train to be pastors, but some of these people have to be pastors. They have to be the last person that person sees on earth.
Dave Watson, hold that thought. We're going to come right back from this break. We continue to speak with pastors from across the area. Friends, we are doing all that we can to try to encourage you because that's what we feel like we should be at this time. Kevin McCullough, and if you want to look for some good news on the facts and figures, go to my Twitter feed, at KMC Radio. We're dedicating it to telling you the good news as best we can. Stay with us.
Confusion, amplifying truth, and pursuing clarity. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
I'm not sure exactly why it was, but I remember around the time of Y2K, which was a joke compared to what we endured after Y2K, and I remember the people in the Christian circles quoting the verse from Chronicles over and over again. You know, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and repent of their sin, that I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. And again, after 9/11, it seemed as though there was some use of that verse on a regular basis. You know, it struck me over the weekend as we return with Dave Watson from Calvary Chapel. You mentioned your prayer chain. I have not heard anyone talk about that verse in this 21 days of crisis. And Dave, we're approaching seismic levels of disruption in terms of American life and business and people's employment and what they're able to even return to if and when it ever becomes safe to do so. And I actually put up on social media yesterday, I said, hey, just remind me, folks, what was the formula in that verse? And I was a little bit shocked at what I got back. I got some kind of prickly people that were saying, well, you know, that's Old Testament and it's talking about the children of Israel. And, you know, you're being theologically loose by bringing it into this scenario. And, you know, there's just too much Reformed people, Reformed stuff in me, Dave. I think that covenants are covenants. And I think that when God makes a promise, he does. But as I talk with you and other pastors, I am sensing that we are in the midst of God wanting to do something, and the question is, will he? And I think on some level that depends on we, the church, doing what we need to do. What's your reaction to everything I just laid out there?
Well, as I shared yesterday at church, you know, when Jesus marched into Jerusalem, he was ultimately rejected because they liked the idea of being saved from the Romans, but they didn't like how God wanted to solve the problem, that is, with Jesus. And I think God, you're right, God wants to do something, but we must be willing. We must be willing to take his solution. We must be willing to go with his program. I mean, as I shared again yesterday in church, you know, we need to pray. We need to humble ourselves before God and say, God, be merciful to us. We are sinners. Yeah. Be merciful to us. We don't deserve your mercy. In some ways, I think of the king of Nineveh, who, when he heard how bad things were going to be from Jonah, he you know, ripped his clothes and was in sackcloth and ashes. And, you know, I wonder what it would take to get our leaders to pray like that, to admit that, you know, we're not who we ought to be, and humble themselves and say, God, be merciful to us. And I think that might be the first step in a spiritual awakening in the church, and in the spiritual awakening of our leaders, is that we admit that we are helpless. I just heard the governor say, you know, there's not a whole lot we can do about this. Okay, governor, do you know anybody who can? Yeah, God. Let's humble ourselves before him. Let's ask for his mercy. I'm asking our folks right now to pray like mad, to stand in the gap between, you know, literally thousands of people dying. To pray and ask that, as in the case in Chronicles, with David, you know, praying and giving an offering, and the Lord commanded the angel, and the angel put his sword back in the sheath. Just stand in the gap between people's being taken and God, and beg for God's mercy. Pray for God's grace. Pray for God's help. A specific prayer. We're asking God to get us to the top of this, and moving forward, moving closer to a resolution before Good Friday, and trusting him to do that. I mean, is it wrong to pray that specifically? Is it wrong to ask for not just people to come to Christ, and not just the people who are sick to be healed, but God, you know, give us a cure, even more than give us a cure. Please stop. Uncle, we admit we need you. We admit we're helpless without you. That's kind of how I think about it.
That is exactly what has been rolling through my head, and it wasn't that I had many questions about what I was asking. I more or less just wanted to get people to remember that God is a covenant keeping and a promise keeping God, and that when his people do humble themselves and lean and direct their complete dependency upon him, we can't always understand his answer, but he always answers. And it's one of those things where I feel like we're at that critical moment right now. So I would encourage everyone that's part of the Kevin McCullough audience to take that same admonition from Pastor Dave Watson, and to join them in praying for those who are sick, for our leadership, for the hearts of Americans, that we would turn to God. Pastor Dave, thank you for spending time with us today. I know you're busy, and you're trying to do all that God has called you to. Be safe, be well, and may God be merciful on us.
Amen, Kevin. Hosanna, save us. Save us now. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you. Kevin McCullough, coming right back.